What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured. Not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay Authenticity Guarantee. Visit ebay.com for terms.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
The Volume.
Jenkins and Jones is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to make every moment more than with FanDuel. So many reasons why I bet on FanDuel Sportsbook. They've got great odds and markets for the MLB, NBA, NHL, PGA Tour, and so much more. They've got awesome new and existing user promotions. It's America's number one sportsbook, and it's easy to use, safe and secure, and you get your winnings fast. It's also fun to combine multiple bets from the same game into a same-game parlay. And you can discover the most popular same-game parlays each day right when you log in. If you're new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started now. Sign up with promo code JANJ so they know we sent you. That's J-A-N-D-J. Disclaimer, must be 21 and over and present in select states only. Gambling problem, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342. Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. It is Monday, May 9th. We hope you had a great Mother's Day with your mommies. Shout out to all the mommies out there.
Mommy's Day.
The mommies.
Shout out to mommy's the baby mama. Day. You know what I'm saying? You in New York right now. We miss you over here. You feel me?
You about to get me crying right now. This is on the first Mother's Day.
My gift made her cry, though. I'm not going to say what it was. We'll talk
about
it off
camera. Fist in the air. We'll talk about it off air for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
As always, Jenkins and Jones, hosted by my good friends, LeJethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John.
What's up, bubbas?
Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
And I'm Guardy B, a.k.a. Mike. Shout out.
You ain't put enough stank on that, Tyler. There wasn't enough stank on there. We've been off for a week, G. You forgot?
Have a good
Dragged his tongue across the mic.
Yes, because scheduling notes. Sorry, we did not have the midweek episode. Life found a way this week. The podcast did not find a way.
our regular lives finally got us, man.
Jeez.
Finally.
And for this week we're doing a live show with the Buckets guys, Wednesday night after the game. So, that'll be the Thursday morning pod. But if you want to tune in live, we'll have, Josiah and Zach Wednesday night after I'm glad it's Wednesday. 'Cause those are the games I really give a fuck about, the Bucks Celtics. And
yes,
And that Warriors Grizzlies series is getting spicy.
I wouldn't have scheduled it any other time, bro. It was only those options, bro.
Oh,
are
you the one who scheduled it?
I mean, it was like, hey, what games do you think we should do it? Here, these are good games. We should
Wednesday.
Do it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into it. A lot of basketball has happened since last time we recorded, but I think the first thing we have to talk about, the Mavs won today to tie that series up at 2-2. Shout out to Dorian Finney-Smith. Incredible game. But obviously what I think the three of us were talking in the group chat about afterwards is Chris Paul going up into the stands to make sure a fan was removed after, apparently a fan looked like a teenager, put his hands on Chris Paul's, wife and mom in front of his kids. I mean, Tyler, what was your first reaction when you just saw that tweet that, like, that's what Chris Paul was upset about? Because Chris Paul was tweeting about it, too. Like, this is some fucking bullshit. We can't talk about the fans, but, you know, this is going on in the stands.
My first reaction was the wife and the mama. Like, he was just out there assaulting the whole family. Like, and you want us to give this kid, this teenager, grace because he's not a minor? No. No, look, man. He's old enough to know better. And he's for sure old enough to where if you put the hands on the wrong person's mom, you're going to get your ass beat. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how I see it, bro. Like I'm going to tell you something. My homegirl, been my, like, best, you know, woman friend since, like, fucking we were in middle school and shit. And she told me years ago, like, she was at the hospital with her mama. And they were, like, waiting on the elevator and some shit. And some old ass. And they rolled up some old, like, 90-year-old. Who with like dementia or Alzheimer's or something, and that person just started kicking her mama, and she said she went over to him and mushed the fuck out of him, and I was like, I understand,
100%,
I completely understand, because the rules of engagement when it comes to like people assaulting your mama, bro, that shit goes out the window. It's like, you can tell me you beat up like a 12-year-old for touching your mom, I'd probably understand. You tell me you beat up a 90-year-old for, like, assaulting your mom, I would probably understand. It's different with mamas, bro. You got to keep your hands to yourself. And everyone in the world knows this, too. The rules of engagement are for sure different with your mama.
Mom and wife, there is literally nothing that could have happened after that that I would have said he shouldn't have done that. All rules go out the window when you involve people like that. Yes. I didn't see the kid that did it. I was like, you know, my first reaction on Twitter was like, you know, I tweeted y'all, I'm like, murder. that's what I texted y'all, murder. Like, and I'm not saying I would have done that, but anything that happens involving somebody pushing your mom or your wife. Like, I mean, and the NBA has to do something about this, like, immediately, okay? What they're doing isn't enough. Kicking fans out, something has to be done. It's on the commissioners, not on the players, because expecting players to contain themselves when their family is in danger, they're worrying about their family while on court? That's a lot to ask. And if somebody would have jumped in that stand and knocked that motherfucker out, it would have made all the sense in the world. Anybody with some real sense or some fucking nuts or has ever loved anybody, you know what I'm saying, that heard that and questioned that, I question they ass. That shit is sickening, bro. And NBA needs to do something about that right now. You should not be worried about your mom or your fucking wife getting pushed in the stands while doing your fucking job. That's ridiculous.
If I'm playing basketball... and I find out someone said something to my mom or my wife, that's difficult for me to remain on the court in that situation. Mm-hmm. If someone put their hands on my wife and my mom, I don't care if it's the president, if it's the fucking Pope, I don't care if it's Jesus Christ. Like, whatever the consequences are, mm-hmm. I don't have another option. Like, there's no out in that situation. Mm-mm. There's a line in this is the all-time I'm ready to fight line in Moby Dick. Captain Ahab said, if the sun offended me, I'm pulling that motherfucker down here right now.
Yeah. Captain Ahab was the world's, was like literature's greatest hater. Like the animosity deep in that man's soul is fucking a work of literature art, bro. But yes, I feel him on that for sure.
I just
take leg motherfucker spitting some real shit there, dog.
So, I don't know. I mean, I just, and then you see he's in the press conference afterwards checking with the media assistant, like, can I fucking leave now? I'm trying to go check on my family and make sure that everything's good.
So how old was this kid? Who
he just happened? He looks like a teenager. I have no idea. Yeah. He might be a stupid looking 22-year-old. Or he might have been a big 15-year-old. I have no idea. But he was it certainly looked like Tyler that he was with his mom, would you not say?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, he's there with his mom. He's doing this stuff. First of all, that's on my mom would have fucking
Look.
Step one, mom, if you're the adult in this situation, you need to fucking figure that out with your son. You bought him these nice ass seats. He's there in a replica Luka Doncic jersey that probably costs $300 fucking. And he's talking to, because he thinks it's a video game or he's on Twitch or some shit, just in the comments. He's talking to human beings. And, you know, you as a mother, you got to fucking stop that shit, first of all.
It wasn't talking. It was pushed.
Right.
I thought it was a grown man. That's why I was like, that sounds like grounds for murder. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I'm not checking your ID first.
Hey, no.
It goes from murder for an adult to an ass woman for a teenager. Like, that's the sliding scale.
I would have beat that little motherfucker's ass fast. Okay, like you said, all the rules of engagement go out the window when it's your fucking mom. You put your hand on my mom. That's all I care about.
Your wife
about
in
right
front
there.
Of your kids, bro. I mean,
God damn, dog.
You're talking to my DNA at this point. You're not talking to me as a person. You're talking to my genetic wiring.
I wouldn't have thought. And that's what's wild. Like, you're asking these basketball players to do what these fans aren't doing. You know what I'm saying? And this is, and we're not talking about like the job and they get paid. We're talking about natural human instincts. When you see somebody you love to that extent, you know what I'm saying? The woman that's raising your kids and the woman that raised you getting hands put on them. Yeah. What the fuck do you want a person to do in that situation? The NBA has to do something about that ASAP.
So, here's my response to you on that. I totally agree that the league is not taking this stuff seriously enough. You know, and first of all, this has been an issue. Someone brought up that this was an issue with Vernon. This has been an issue forever. Like, this happened with Vernon Maxwell. You know, it's been forever that players have had to deal with these stupid fans. We just have more access to what's happening in the stands now, right? Mm-hmm. To me, look, basketball is a fucking privilege. It's a privilege for us as a society. It's a privilege for fucking fans to be there. This is not a human right. And if you as a host team cannot provide a safe atmosphere for players to play where they're not going to hear racial slurs hurled at them, as everyone has told us happens constantly in Utah, or where your family cannot come and watch you play basketball, then you forfeit the fucking game. I mean, it's that easy to me. And you watch out how fucking fast the behavior changes if it goes, oh, this isn't some, you know, I'm going to get famous for going back and forth with Chris Paul. This is the guy whose jersey I'm wearing is going to be mad at me for acting like a dipshit and costing him a fucking playoff game. But this needs to be root level. Reach in, grab the shit and pull it out and throw it away, because this cannot happen. This can't be a theme. It's not fucking funny, because if Chris Paul had jumped in there and pushed that kid's nose through the back of his head, none of us would have disagreed with it, and it would have been a disaster for the NBA. But he would have been right to do it. So they need to get on top of this shit, and not in a fines legislative type of way. No. It has to be a serious fucking thing. I think I would take it all the way to a forfeit. You can't, if someone's wife and mom can't watch him play basketball, then you can't play basketball.
Period.
All right, shit.
Bang the gap. Life. Fuck them.
Blah, blah, blah. The other game tonight, Heat Sixers. Sixers win to tie that series up at 2-2. You know, these are the two series I think we and most people I know have been a little bit less interested in. So I'm glad to see him get to a game five at 2-2 in both of them, because now you clock in a lot more at 2-2 for game five. So I'm excited about that. I want to know, Tyler, where are we with Jimothy Harden? Has he got his name back for tonight?
He was James tonight.
Shut up.
I feel like this is the corny ending of a movie where like a dude is just walking up and starts sitting there and you're like, that was James tonight. Yeah, but for sure. It was like he was Jim the first two games, bro. He had 4 points
Jimothy.
Yeah. 4 points the second half of game one, 4 points the second half of game two. Like, he stuck it up, but he showed up tonight. He showed up tonight. Can't take it from him. He was James tonight.
I think for the rest of his career, we'll see more Jimothy than James. I think this iteration of James is the James we'll see more of. I feel like, you know, we have these moments like this that are good, but I feel like the way he approaches the game is totally different than who he was when, like, you know, Morey first had him. You know what I mean? Where he's aggressive, pushing, you know, pushing to get his points and stuff like that. He's more of a facilitator. He'll sit back and let Maxi do the thing. You know what I'm saying? More than he presses himself. So I think that's interesting. I'm wondering like how, you know, this will be in, you know, in his career further along down the line. But I don't care about this series at all. I give zero fucks about what happens to either of these teams. Anybody can win. It doesn't matter, bro.
So you think whoever comes out of here is not going to the finals?
No, I feel like this series. No, I mean, it's Bucks or Celtics still. And you know, Celtics are struggling a little bit. You know, like Jason Tatum got to figure it out. You know, if he doesn't figure it out, they can't do shit. You know what I'm saying? But I think it's probably the Bucks. But it's coming. That's the series that matters. I think that series really decides who wins the chip, honestly.
Mm-hmm. I can get on board with that. There was a guy at the game who you would identify with, John, which is the cameras caught a guy. I think he was courtside, but he was like second row at furthest back, who was just dead knocked out asleep in the second half of this game. I've fallen asleep during some of the greatest movies of all time in the movie theater. There's no better nap in the world to me than a movie theater nap. Do we think an NBA game is courtside in an NBA game? Is that the final thing to check that off on the list?
He is the elite napper of the world. But the whole thing about how naps get you is though, it's like, bro, all it takes is like 2 or 3 minutes of downtime. You're like, all right, your body starts lying to you. You're like, yeah, I can just probably, you know, close my eyes for like 2 minutes during this commercial break and, you know, wake back up. No, the fuck you can't. You know what I'm saying? You go wake up, it's going to be goddamn 2 hours later. So, yeah, I can, you know, even though it is ridiculous to fall asleep at a courtside game, at the stage of life that I'm in now, I could see that being, you know, something that could possibly happen to me too.
Tyler witnessed this. I fell asleep standing up in a club.
In the club, bro.
I can go to sleep standing up in D.C., with a fucking pea coat on, nigga. I can go to sleep any fucking where, bro. Falling asleep with your feet on the hardwood, peanuts, okay? Try falling light asleep work. With drinks flowing and booty juice around you, okay? In an underground club, bro. That's where I fell asleep. Standing up, all right? So yes, I can, you know that, but good for him. You know what I mean?
I might have you beat.
Let me see.
In college, I mentioned we got into some different things as a newspaper, the newspaper I was at in college, right? We were in an academic court hearing with the school senate to decide whether we were going to get kicked out of college or not. And I fell asleep in the third row.
Oh my God.
You are a menace.
Wow.
Every story you told about you in that damn newspaper, you were raising hell, bro.
It was some Animal House shit going on there, bro. Right. Like, y'all were wild.
It might have been more PCU than Animal House.
PCU, a lot of hijinks.
Yeah, it was a lot of hijinks. But falling asleep standing up anywhere, that's super impressive. I credit you for that.
Yeah, I posted myself between a wall and a banister. So like it was cheating a little bit. But I was like, yeah, I don't give a fuck about nothing that's going on right now. But before I knew it, I was asleep. So
let's talk about that Bucks-Celtics series we just mentioned. The Bucks are up 2-1. Tyler had, I thought, anywhere on the internet or television, the best comment on this, which is Celtics fans in the span of 3 games have gone from, yeah, we're going to make KD work for every inch. We're running 3 guys against him every time he's on the court. Every play, we're going to beat his ass up. They're soft. They can't play real basketball. This is
physical
Boston.
Basketball.
This is Boston. This is real basketball shit.
Nothing is easy against the Celtics.
To walking into the arena with 9-1 dialed on their phone to call the police on Giannis.
Just wait, like, as soon as they see that first drop to the cup. Yes, it is. It ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun, right? Like you know, they were all up in fucking KD's jersey last year. It's like they were knocking him off his square. They were physical, you know what I'm saying? But that mother, you know, no shots to KD, but that motherfucker weighs 118 pounds. It's a whole different ball game with Giannis. Right, this is the strongest motherfucker in the league, perhaps.
That maybe you know ever came to the league, nigga.
Yeah. This is the strongest motherfucker. You try to get all up in his. Yeah, you try to get all up in Giannis jersey, your ass gonna be rolling into the goddamn stanchion like D-Book and shit. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, it's a whole different ball game, and I just love to see the hypocrisy from fucking Celtics fans who are doing a 180 on how, you know, basket, you know, the most physical team wins. Now it's, oh, please, no, please help. You can't do that. That's not legal. You're too strong. And yeah, I love it, though.
This is brutality.
These motherfuckers are crying about someone being stronger than them, and they don't know how dorky they look. Dog.
I'll be honest. Like, I think it's funny what you're saying, but I get it. It is brutality. He's bullying the fuck out the motherfuckers. I'd be yelling for help, too, if I had to try to stop that motherfucker right there, dog. He dropping his shoulder and getting everybody out the way, dog. I'd call 911 as well. But yeah, it's definitely funny, but I understand both sides. You know what I mean? There's good people on both sides, guys. All right.
I think. First of all, it's just so funny, and we obviously talked about the more important stuff with the Suns Mav series, but it's kind of the same thing. They're like, we've all been fans of basketball for a long time, right? And I'm telling my son this at 8 years old. Like, you can't be complaining about the officials like this nonstop. But like, what's the fun of it? Like, can you not acknowledge in your head that you want your team to be officiated differently than the other team, and that that colors the way that you see the game? It's just, I don't even consider that a particularly mature thought. It's just, getting mad, yelling at the refs and shit, that's fun, whatever. But to get on Twitter and like formulate hypotheses around it and like, well, these guys are allowed to play like this, we're allowed to play like this. It's just like, I don't see the point in it. It's a boring way to watch basketball. It's a boring way to talk about basketball for sure. Mm-hmm. Like there's nothing there to me on that. And I don't understand Celtics fans. Like, you're being hypocritical. Of course you're being hypocritical. All basketball fans are hypocritical, but we're going to laugh at you if you come literally from a series where you were bragging about beating up an all-time great. And now you have an all-time great beating you up, and you're saying you want more whistles on it. Of course you're going to get laughed at for that. It's hypocritical at the basest possible level. And I don't. Tyler said it. You said it on Twitter earlier. Have you ever watched a basketball game that your team was not in and said, could he use more fouls in this one? Could he use more whistles in this basketball game? No one wants that. No one wants that.
Yes. No one has ever... I have never in my life watched a basketball game and been like, they need to call more offensive fouls here. I have never in my life done it.
Offensive, too, in particular.
Yeah, offensive fouls, too, right? Like, and no one else who's a basketball fan has ever watched the game and wanted more offensive fouls if their team's not playing. Like, if the only time people want that shit is when their team's playing. Right, everyone's awesome. Let them boys bang shit until it's your team that's getting bullied. Then you want that motherfucking whistle going off. And it's just... I don't get how Celtics fans don't realize how dorky they look complaining about this shit, bro.
Particularly when you're watching somebody as amazing as Giannis do Giannis things, and what you talk about is whistles. We're seeing somebody we have never seen before in this entire game, and you want to, you know, you ignore how good he is, and you want more referees involved. You want the 5'8", 163-pound guy to get more involved in a playoff basketball game. It doesn't quite make sense. We can look at the 7-footer, you know what I mean, who's doing anything and everything that can be done on the court.
And and John says this as someone who you're rooting for Jason Tatum, I assume, harder than you're rooting
Jason
for anyone
Tatum.
Else
yes,
in the
I love Jason Tatum.
Point.
I want
yeah.
Tatum to win. I'm always rooting for St. Louis. You feel me? I'm always rooting for Tatum. But the thing, but like, yeah, I say that like, but I also am a fan of basketball, particularly the beauty of it. And seeing Giannis play basketball is beautiful. Much more beautiful than a bald head ass motherfucker built like a fist with a fucking zebra suit on, okay? I give a fuck about him and what he got to say about what Giannis is doing on the court, okay?
Listen, the other game, bro, where there's been... go ahead, Tyler. Sorry.
I was going to say, Celtics had 34 free throws that game. Bucks had 17. The Celtics had 17 free throws in the last 16 minutes and 30 seconds. The Bucks had 0. Like, what the fuck are y'all even crying about, bro?
They want more offensive fouls. They're the motherfuckers calling charges in the rec and getting their ass kicked off the court. You play 5-on-5 and call a charge. You got to go, bro.
Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home services marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled professionals to get the job done well.
With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects easy. We've used Angie at my house. We had some work done. We had some painting done. We're able to find a bunch of really qualified people with good rates through Angie and pick someone we were really happy with. It was super easy to use the app, super easy to connect with someone. We got the call right away, so we didn't have to sit around and wait.
Renters, you can use Angie too for moving, installation, or cleaning. Angie has simplified finding help for home projects. In just a few taps in the Angie app or clicks on the site, you can have Angie tackle your home service projects from start to finish.
Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com or download the app today.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 podcast. You'll know when you get it. It'll say eBay, authenticity, guarantee. You'll feel it because when it comes to your feet, eBay has your back. Maybe it's that head-turning pair for hooping or a hot new collab. Whatever you're after, when you cop on eBay, you can trust that your kicks will be checked by experts, not just any expert. Sneaker experts who live and breathe the culture. Real people with real hands-on authentication experience. That's when blue checkmark represents on our listing. eBay authenticity guarantee, meaning every inch, stitch, sole, logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. So when you finally step into those grill kicks, you'll realize the feeling is unlike any other. And with eBay authenticity guarantee, the feeling of real is always within reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm like that. See that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
The playoffs are heating up, and you can make every game feel like Game 7 on FanDuel Sportsbook, an official partner of the NBA. Throughout the playoffs, all customers can place a no-sweat same-game parlay each week. You'll get up to $20 in free bets if you don't win. FanDuel has so many ways to play, and best of all, when you do win, you'll get paid faster than a fast break. Same game parlay for tonight's games. Obviously, you've heard us talking about how high we are on the Bucks and Giannis. So I would build a same game parlay around them winning and overs on all of his player props because I just think he's going to continue to look like a different kind of animal in these playoffs. New to FanDuel? Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up with promo code JANJ. Once again, that's promo code JANJ. That's J-A-N-D-J. And if you already have an account, you're all set to bet. No sweat. Either way, you'll get up to $20 in free bets if your same-game parlay during the playoffs doesn't win. FanDuel Sportsbook, an official partner of the NBA.
Disclaimer, must be 21 and over in select states. Refund issued as non-withdrawable free bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max free bet, $20 per week. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit fanduel.com/RG. The other series where there's been some conversation, actually I'm interested to talk about this. The Warriors-Grizzlies series. The Warriors are up 2-1. Ja looks like he's going to be out game four. Mm. There was a play in the last game. There's been a lot of legs akimbo in this series that happens with some of the principal players involved. There's obviously the very hard foul that Dylan Brooks had accidentally. I don't think he was trying to slap him in the head.
But it was still dirty. I get the
It was dirty. He took it Gary Payton Jr.
Not intentional, out. But dirty. Yeah. I get it. Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, the results of plays like that always dictate how we feel about him. You know, there's an elbow fracture, ended his season, so you feel like it's more dirty than if he, you know, it's a hard foul and he gets up and plays mm-hmm. on. But this play, you know, Jordan Poole grabbing at the ball, grabs Ja on the knee, on the inside of the knee, and pulls, and that's the injury, an injury to his knee. And, you know, the Grizzlies have said, like, that's when he hurt his knee, probably going to keep him out of game four. I don't personally watch that clip and see malicious intent. It looks to me like it's a scramble. The ball is loose between them. I think he knows he's not grabbing at the basketball, but it's just sometimes when you're playing, even if you're a slow fucking kind of fat white guy like me, your hands are in there, you're pulling whatever. I don't think he was like trying to reach in and grab his knee and injure him. But obviously if I was a huge Grizzlies fan, I would be fucking furious beyond belief at it. So what did you think of that play, Tyler? You thought that was dirty or you thought it was just one of those plays?
It looked like a basketball move. Jordan Poole has no history of being dirty. So I feel like we got to give him the benefit of the doubt on this one.
Yeah, Jordan Poole, I'm looking at him. He's not a dirty player. He said, I'm not that type of player. You know what I mean? And when I looked at that play, I didn't truly, it didn't seem like it came from you didn't have malicious intent when he did it. Like, it's just a basketball play. It's a contact sport. It happens, you know. I think they're more mad because Ja's hurt. You know, you're making something a bigger deal. Yes, Ja not being in the game is a big deal, obviously. I mean, but also, y'all have won games. You won a lot of games without Ja, so, you know. I get why they're frustrated.
I think the thing about it is, and I agree with you on you know, you give players that don't have a bad track record, you give them the benefit of the doubt. I think the reason that they're upset, not just because it's Ja, but because if there was malicious intent, he wouldn't have done anything differently than what he did. Like, you know, he put his hand right on the inside of his knee joint and he pulled. That's going to, what, you know, regardless of where your leg's planted, regardless of what age you are, if I go do that to my kids, that's not going to feel good to them. So I get that, but it's just one of those moments. If you don't slow it down, if you watch it in real time, I don't think you can come away from it feeling like, oh, he's trying to take him out of the game.
I think you have to be a certified psycho.
To
manually injure someone's kneecap with your bare hands, right? Like, I think that's something we're overlooking here. You gotta be a sick motherfucker if you want to pull someone's kneecap off their ligaments by your bare fucking hands, right? Do we think Jordan Poole is that guy? I mean, we don't really know the kid. He's like 24, 3 years deep or whatever. I don't think so, though. Like I said, I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. He doesn't have a dirty history. He said he didn't do it, so. That's good enough for me at this point.
Also to have that level of precision in that bang of a play, to think that, bro, go check his basement. Go check the fridge downstairs, bro. My man feeding brains to folks, yes. All right?
If he was that evil and that precise, he needs to be on a watch list. Bro, you know what I'm saying?
He playing some classical music, cutting people's brains and feeding it to them, okay? He that on that damn Hannibal Lecter shit.
With some opera playing, some... right. Jordan Poole needs some motherfucking brains.
Right.
Watching film for game four and shit, right?
Like, he's eating your MCL with some fava beans and a nice Chianti. Absolutely.
A nice Chianti. I'm telling you.
All right. Well, very excited for the games on Monday night. We'll be tapped in with those for sure. Let's talk about some non-basketball stuff. I appreciate, first of all, everyone who listens to the show because... We cover a fair amount of ground on the show, and I like that during the playoffs, I hear from people who are like, love that you guys are talking more basketball, and then we hear from people who are like, boy, I wish you'd stop talking about so much basketball.
Where's the whale dick story follow-up?
Old girl that hit me up about that I put sent to the group chat,
yeah.
She was like, she listens every day with her boyfriend still, but she's like, I want to be able to interact about some of this shit. I don't give a fuck about this basketball stuff. And I respect it. I respect it.
I was listening to the show before I was on the show. I was listening to your Game of Thrones recaps, having not watched any episodes of Game of Thrones. But I was just like, oh, here goes Tyler about the fucking Nightwalkers. Like, this motherfucker's so funny.
Some people say like they don't watch basketball, but they'll tap in for the tea. Cause we be on here gossiping.
Little messy bitches. You know what I mean?
Some chatty patties on this motherfucker.
They're talking about what we do to teenagers if they said some shit to our moms, for sure.
I pushed the hell out of that 15-year-old. Put the nose at the back of his head.
No, but yeah, like, so I fuck with it though.
Yeah, for sure.
I understand both sides.
New Kendrick video out today. Shades of the Michael Jackson black and white video, using deepfake technology to change his face during the song. What'd you guys think of the song? What'd you think of the video?
Before I forget, you talking about the black and white video, please go back and look at that part with the whole face morph shit, because Tyra Banks like totally broke protocol. Like, she wasn't supposed to show the shimmy or be like she was.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you look at her and look at everyone else, you can tell everyone else followed instructions. And
she did not follow directions.
Yeah. And she said that herself. But good for her, because she sees the fucking spotlight and she became the chick of the 90s, right? Yep. But yeah, it's
you're goddamn right too. That's
I had Tyra Banks on my wall in fucking 96, 97, dog. Like, she was that big. But
I declined to tell the story that I could tell.
Oh,
right,
you
got to
tell it now.
Absolutely. No.
Does it involve a sock?
Listen. The three of us grew up. The three of us grew up in a different era. The three of us grew up in a different era in terms of the availability and the Tyra Banks swimsuit edition of Sports Illustrated, which arrived because I was a fan of Sports Illustrated. Yeah. It was a treasured artifact in the
Garda Basio from deep. Gangman Gardy from 30.
Bro, we had to print up pictures in the computer lab back in the day. Like, we were some 14-year-old perverts printing up swimsuit pictures and shit. Like, it was a whole different ball game back then.
My friend brought a folded up piece of paper to school with a dot matrix printout of Pamela Anderson topless. And it was like, you could see the pixels.
We owned it.
Well, I bet y'all did numbers, though. I bet you put up Giannis numbers.
42, 17, 12.
He was a celebrity. And it was a black and white picture, too, because we didn't have color printers.
Boy, we old as fuck. God damn.
We grew up in the Stone Age, man.
Hell yeah.
I'm going to tell you, in sixth grade, my country ass, we have some mags. And we hit them in the woods.
In the woods?
We would go look at the mags while we was waiting on the bus. And then we run from behind these little trees to the bus stop. That sounds like some delivery shit.
Yeah, but I'm saying that is a Coen Brothers movie scene. The fuck? Yeah. Y'all going to look at porn in the woods?
I'm telling you, country nigga shit, bro. Hey. I'll look at a titty anywhere. I'll look at a titty on the moon, titty. Okay?
What the fuck were we even talking about, man? Kendrick. Okay.
Who
Kendrick? Cares? Kendrick. The Kendrick video. The Kendrick video. Yeah.
I look at a titty in the moon.
A titty on the moon.
Don't ask your homegirl if this is what she was looking for from the podcast.
Okay. Yeah. I hit her up. Yeah. I don't know her like that, but yeah, she just hit me up to say, hey, can y'all talk about some bullshit?
Kendrick video. The Kendrick video and song. Yeah, Tyler, your thoughts on the Kendrick video?
Listen, bro. Like I said, Kendrick is be on some other shit so much that even in this video where he was doing fucking, you know, deep fakes of OJ and Jussie Smollett and Will Smith, I was like, oh, thank God he's not going off the deep end for this album. Like, that's how weird Kendrick can get. You know what I'm saying? Like, this video was weird enough, and it gave me a sigh of relief because I don't think the album is going to be too weird. It's going to be Kendrick weird. You feel me? And was I the only one who came away from this video thinking that?
I didn't. I live in weird.
being a very artsy ass nigga. I think he is brilliant. I think he's a creative genius. I love how innovative it is using new technology. I don't know if you remember his other videos. He had that one scene. He shot one with J-Rock, and he had that scene where one person was moving in slow-mo, the other one in normal space. And then when they switched it, the person, like, it was like no cut or anything. It was beautiful. Anyway, he always finds an innovative way to in order to shoot his music, his video. So the art was beautiful to me. I think it's going to be To Pimp a Butterfly type joint. I don't know if the album will be for me. I don't think he's quite jumped off the deep end like we thought initially after hearing this. But I don't know if it's the Kendrick album I want him to make. I think it'll be a good Kendrick album, though. But if I'm being honest, To Pimp a Butterfly is my least favorite Kendrick album. Like, I think it's probably his most important, maybe his most impactful album. But it's the album I listen to the least, because you have to listen to the whole album. You can't, I'm not going to like song seven and just playing that. You know, it's a, you got to watch it like, you got to listen to it like you watch a movie, you know?
I think it's the line between appreciation and enjoyment. I appreciate To Pimp a Butterfly. It's incredible. I cried when I was listening to it the first time.
So my head hurt.
Yeah. But it's just not something that, for that reason, I listen to very often. Like you said, you never, if one song from it comes up on a shuffle, I'm going to write through it, you know?
What are you going to do? You going to do Kendrick like that? Come
That's
on,
the sound
man.
Of
You going to Kendrick?
Well, but I also think, you know, I mean, I've mentioned this on Twitter a couple of times, like Good Kid, Mad City at this point, and it's far enough away from it, I would probably say is my favorite album ever. Like,
yeah, I've been at the point for a while where if you said that's the best West Coast album ever, I would not put up an argument. I think it's that fucking good. Yeah.
I think it's a perfect album. I think he did every single thing he was trying to do on it. And as we discussed on a previous show, and I did get one person who responded and said they appreciated the James Joyce Kendrick Lamar analogy. Mm-hmm. I think he did it. Like, he made a perfect album, and he has another 15 or 20 years of recording in front of him. So it makes sense that he's trying to do things like John said, that's more artsy, that's just different from what a normal person would try and do. Like, and
he's
always
done artsy shit though.
For sure. But there's that line, right? There's a line that you can call it commercial versus art. You can call it appreciation versus enjoyment, whatever you want to call it. The difference between, it's what Martin Scorsese is talking about when he says they're not making real movies anymore. You know what I mean? It's just, there's that line in everything that we enjoy between the art house stuff and the blockbuster stuff. And Kendrick is one of the few artists that has done both sides of it to perfection. So, you know, I think he's in a unique space because of that, especially because it's only been in the last couple of years that the country's mainstream, quote unquote, is accepting rap as real high art, right? Like all the Jay-Z, I'm in the MoMA type shit. So I don't know. I don't have the highest hopes, you know. I will always listen to everything he puts out, but to me, it's more appreciation than enjoyment recently. And I appreciated what Tyler was talking about on. Just let me know the, like, put a sticker on the album of what the Hotep level is. Like, like what's octane?
How hot is it going to be, baby? You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, I wonder what y'all thought about this, too. Like, I watched because I love the visuals. I'm a big fan of especially Kendrick's art. And I mean, PG Lang, like, I watched there. They had, I think, was it a Levi's or Calvin Klein? Like, they were doing like advertisements. Like, they're a creative agency, so they were doing advertisements. I was watching all those. I like, you know, but they do a lot of like extremely creative art house shit. Even how they shot Baby Keem's video with Kendrick, that was brilliant to me. You feel me? But what did y'all think about the like when he put those faces? Were they? Do you think there was? You think that verse was about people that he felt like were bad for the culture when he had, like, you know, Will Smith, who else he have on there? Like, obviously, Kanye, OJ, you know what I'm saying? Kanye, Jussie. And then he had, is it Jussie or Jesse?
Jussie.
Chappelle made me call that motherfucker Juice forever, dog.
Juice.
Like, yeah, juicy like a motherfucker.
Juicy Smollier.
Juice Smollier.
Anyway. Yeah. And then he had, you know, obviously in a different verse, he had, you know, Kobe and, you know, Nip. So did you think there was like some significance to that?
Yeah, I can't necessarily draw the dots on that culture verse. It kind of felt like, maybe I need to examine it more. But you know, the whole Kobe Netflix was about, you know, dying before your time. You know,
right,
was the parallels there too. So yeah, for sure.
You got to be bold to say those words, you know, with a nip. You know what I'm saying? Deepfake. You know what I'm saying?
But you know, who else? But
he stamped.
He was Nipsey's homie. He's from Compton. He knows how it is. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, he stamped.
Yeah, if anyone could do it, it's Kendrick.
Yeah. Still, that's a tall order.
And I don't feel like he fumbled it. You know, I feel like he did a great job with it. Yeah. No.
Kendrick's brilliant. I don't know if it'll be the album, like I said, the album I want. But I mean, you just, regardless of what he does, like, you can't ignore the brilliance. The brilliance is always there. And I think that'll be here in this album. I don't know how much I run it back. I thought Damn was great. My favorite Kendrick album is Section 80. I've listened to that.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I understand Good Kid, M.A.A.D City, and when it came, and I remember listening to that shit, and I remember the verse he had with about what's old boy to be lying on Twitter about his son and shit, and on Instagram. Blood. You know what I'm saying? He slapped the shit out of one of his teammates at the Drew. The game. Anyway,
man, goddamn,
bro, that's a wild boy. When I broke that down,
yeah,
and described
you broke
that
down
man,
everything.
I'm like, damn,
I was like, that's
the game is a wild boy. Yeah. When he talked about seeing the game and all that, I remember like the emotions and being a dude that was struggling at that point. You feel me? Like in life and financially and all that shit. So I remember how much that meant. But like Section 80, as far as like that shit hit me in a particular way, bro. You know what I mean? I don't decide that. But I do understand what y'all saying is probably could be the best West Coast album. You know, it was a monumental album, but yeah.
Yeah, it's Section 80 was, I felt like that was Kendrick's, yo, I'm really fucking nice and I'm here.
Did he do was on Michael Jordan mode before that, right? Was that the album he had before
Michael
that?
Jordan was on, what's the shit with Janae Aiko? Goddamn. Overly Dedicated.
Oh, Overly Dedicated. Okay, yeah.
Michael Jordan was on Overly Dedicated. Okay. That was on OD. But, I feel like where Good Kid, M.A.A.D City gets the separation is it's a coming of age tale. You know what I mean? It's a tale of a kid, you know, coming of age in Compton, going from, you know, a teenager to a young man. Like, I feel like that kind of gives it an edge. It was a concept album. It was an album with a strong theme. And Section 80 was phenomenal, like not taking anything away from it.
I heard rigor mortis.
And that was when I was like, this is the best motherfucker alive right now.
He didn't breathe. He didn't breathe for an entire fucking song.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Right. I heard rigor mortis and I was like, this motherfucker is the best rapper alive right now. Like I said, I feel like Section 180 stamped and certified him. Like he's one of the top guys. But I feel like Good Kid, M.A.A.D City was the arrival, the coming of age story that just kind of is going to be timeless for generations.
Good Kid, M.A.A.D City might be the last album I remember buying in CD format and then sitting in my car listening to it all the way through.
I don't know the
last, that might have been the last time that it happened like that, the way that it did when we were kids or whatever. And I'll always remember there's the what I think is just one of the Sing About Me, I'm Dying of Thirst. I forget the exact names, but I think that might be the best song. I mean, just like a song that does. There's nothing you could seek to do as a musician that isn't done in that song, in my opinion. Mm. I remember talking to, like, when that album came out, I was at a Poly basketball practice, like the day after. And I was sitting there with the kids on the team talking about it like it was like something had happened to all of us. And they were all talking about that song and the moment when he stops talking and the gunshots happen. And like, I was talking to KJ Fagan, who was the point guard on that team. They won a CIF championship. He played at San Diego State. They were like number 4 in the country the pandemic year or whatever. He was like we were like really having heart-to-heart conversations around that song in particular. And I'll just never forget. It was just one of those moments when, even though I was old, you still felt like there was this connection across generations and everything else. Cause he just said everything that so many West Coast rappers had been saying, parts of what he said in totality in that album.
Right. You know, like I said, it's a coming of age album. And that's something that every generation relates to. It's the reason why damn near 30 fucking years later, so many people think Illmatic is the best rap album ever because mm-hmm. that was a Queensbridge, New York City coming of age album. That theme is timeless. And
it's Kendrick the reason kids are still the reading the Odyssey 2,000 years later. I mean, you know what right. I mean? Like, it's yeah. like that is a story that we relate to on a genetic level, I feel like. Absolutely.
Mm. I think Section 80 helped us to know what Kendrick was. Like, I knew Kendrick was going to be one of the best rappers I'd ever heard in my life after Section 80, right? I think Good Kid, Mad City showed us who Kendrick was and yeah. how he got there, you know? And I felt like after Good Kid, Mad City, I was like, where does he come up with new material? Because he just wrote material based on his entire life. You know what I mean?
And now in a year, he's got to, right? He spent 20-something years leading up to this one.
To make that, you know
what
I mean?
And now in a year, what are you, right, 100%.
And so, but I mean, you know, he's a, you know, brilliant artist, brilliant creator. He figured it out, obviously, but... Yeah, I feel like that's where I got to know, like, who Kendrick was and how he became him. But I remember watching, like, Kendrick's always been creative. Even before Section 80, these videos are not available on YouTube anymore. But there were, like, videos of him rapping. This was, like, when there were rumors of him. Who was that one guy that was supposed to be the popping, but he had, like, mental issues that Kendrick battled? Do you remember him?
Grape Street Crip, homie. Daylight.
No, it wasn't Daylight. It wasn't Daylight. It was another dude that was popping. He was blowing up around the time Kid Cudi was blowing up before he actually dropped The First Man on the Moon. It was right before the Day and Night joint. I forget his name. Huh?
Chip the Ripper.
He wasn't from Cleveland, but he was from the he was an East Coast rapper, but he wasn't from Cleveland. But it was around that time period.
Charles Hamilton?
Was it Charles Hamilton? I think it was Charles Hamilton where he battled him. And nobody knew who Kendrick was. Yeah. And he battled Charles Hamilton.
Yeah, they did.
And so that's when I first heard of Kendrick. This was before it dropped the joint he was doing with when he was telling people that Dr. Dre was going to drop something.
And Kendrick ran up on him because he was that guy. Like I remember that shit.
Right. He was like, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Kendrick approached him like, yo, I want
to
battle.
Let's battle. He was just trying to get some reps in. You know what I'm saying? Get some light. You know what I'm saying? But he was dropping videos with like. I remember there was a video where it was just like captioning on it, and he was like driving through LA, and it was just showing what they were seeing, the scenic stuff that was around them through the windows of the car. It was like a super, like at the time, a very artsy ass, you know, video to be making for somebody from Compton. So, I mean, he's always had this creative mind, but I think we're going to see some truly, truly beautiful art, you know what I'm saying, with the videos. I'm excited about that. I don't, as I said before, I don't need to say it again, but I don't, you know, the music, we'll see about the music.
That I will tell you one thing I took from that video, that pen is still sharp as hell, regardless of how I feel about the way he's taking his music. That motherfucker rapped his ass off on that shit. He
I
went
don't
in.
Question Kendrick's rapping though. I think Kendrick's always going to rap. I just wonder how the music's going to sound. Cause I mean, like, can Kendrick not rap? I think he's to the point now where, you know, it's just too easy for him. I don't see Kendrick getting on any song and not, you know, barring us to death on that motherfucker, you know? So.
You guys want to talk about dinosaurs?
Hell yeah.
Always.
All right.
I'm horny. I'm horny. You just horny just
for fucking, dinos.
You said dino. You were halfway through the word and my dick jumped. You know what I mean? Let's go.
I got your Snickers vein going over there. All right.
Put the veins on mine.
Shout out to Argentinian paleontologist Mauro Aranciaga, who is living the dream of every kid who ever watched Jurassic Park and said, I'm going to grow up to be a paleontologist. He has discovered a new apex predator in Argentina. Mm. The Latin name for it is Maiip macrothorax, but its nickname in Argentina, based on some of the indigenous... based on the indigenous...
Macrothorax, that's long throat, right?
That makes sense.
Your thorax is the... It's like your torso. Yeah.
I'm thinking larynx, mate. Yeah. Larynx is in your neck? Okay. Yeah, thorax, because that's the goddamn head, thorax, abdomen.
Thorax is the middle part of the ant, right before the...
Yeah,
the ass bump, whatever that shit is.
The abdomen. Yeah, head, thorax, abdomen.
The thorax is the middle part. What's the third part of the ant?
Scientists, give us control of Latin. give us control of the Latin language.
No, I don't think insects have abdomens.
Bro, it's head, thorax, abdomen. I promise.
Oh, I thought it was thorax instead of abdomen on an insect.
Yes, what?
Is it head, abdomen, thorax?
No,
I don't think that. I think thorax is in place of the abdomen on the insect.
Yeah, I think that's what I thought it was.
So
and then
it's head, abdomen, then what then the fuck? Because it's three parts of an insect.
I thought it was just, no, okay, let's look this shit up.
No, wait, that's what we're just talking about. Insect body diagram, boy.
You're some fucking nerd.
Jackson, help us out, please.
Oh, no, Tyler's right. Head, thorax, abdomen. Yeah, so the head is the head.
Wow, insects
have abdomens. Thorax is the part that but this is what's weird. The thorax
the
is the part the limbs, basically. And the abdomen is the ass on an insect.
Yeah.
Interesting.
The abdomen is the squishy part.
Yeah, that's where all the bug juice at. That's when you get some goddamn green and blue and purple squirrels. You know, you squish the right motherfucker.
I remember when Nicki Minaj first, you know, came out, and I was like, she looked like she had a thorax I remember thinking that. So I thought the thorax, I was misplacing the parts of the insect. My bad.
Macro thorax, the nickname according that's coming out of Argentinian indigenous mythology, they're calling this dinosaur the Death Shadow.
Man, send me the image. Send me that shit,
bro. I need to see this shit.
It is a macro raptor, which means there's a raptor that is enormous. It was 6 tons and 3 stories from nose to tail. And wow. I will send you the picture.
Wait, so, okay. So,
and it was
but
a
it
raptor,
was built
so,
like,
so ahead, it ran up and, like, jumped on prey and cut them open and shit? Like, isn't that what? It was,
yeah, it has,
was,
it
was three size? Stories high doing that?
Three stories
What animals
long.
Was it doing it to?
Brontosauruses and shit? Maybe?
Smaller dinosaurs. Smaller dinosaurs. It was, the claws that they found for it are 17 inches long.
17 inch? What?
The claws
what
on
what
it
was 17 inches long?
The claws on it were 17 inches
Hell
long.
Hell no. I'm scared as fuck.
Bro, Jurassic Park did raptors bad. This was, they might, you know, we said they, you know, they had us thinking that they, bro, this changes some things.
We need a new Jurassic, we need a new Jurassic Park franchise to put the Death Shadow in there. But hey, the Death Shadow is the best nickname I've ever heard for a living creature. Yes. The Death Shadow, sure. Like you saw the shadow and that's it.
That's it.
Oh, Lord.
All right, we're going to go look at pictures of this dinosaur. That's all the time we got for this.
Yeah, I need all of this, bro.
Like I said, Wednesday night we're recording live with the Buckets guys, so you can tap in live on their social channels or the podcast will be in your feed on Thursday. And before we get out of here, we have to shout out our man Gregory.
Motherfucking Gregory.
We proud of you, my boy.
Hell yeah.
We proud of you, G. Fuck. Inspired the hell out of me. Like I said, bro, I was soggy as hell by the face when reading his ladies, you know, write up. You know, I'm
Gregory's
a big fan of you and y'all.
Yeah. Gregory's girlfriend Ariel hit us up and let us know. He's a longtime listener of the show. Been through some shit in his life, as have all three of us, as have I feel like probably everyone who fucks with the show.
For sure.
And he is graduating with his degree in or his license in social work. And going out to try and help make the world slightly less fucked up, which is the greatest goal any of us can seek.
Love that.
And she said that the pod kind of helped him through some of those times, and we were happy to be a part of the surprise video she put together for him. So shout out to Gregory, man. Thank you for fucking with the show. We fuck with you, Gregory.
For real. For real. Grateful as fuck, bro. Like, if you listen to the show and you fuck with us, we cousins, bro. That's how I play it. We play cousins for real. You know
right,
what I'm saying? So
right.
Shouts to the homie
Hug
Gregory,
me when
man.
You see me.
Yeah, daps and hugs, bro. Bring that shit in, motherfucker. You feel me? So, yeah, shouts to Gregory, man. Proud as fuck of you.
All right, we'll be back midweek. Like I said, Wednesday night, you could listen live after the second game on the Bucket social feeds. Or Thursday, we'll have it up as an episode of Jenkins and Jones in this podcast feed. And we will see y'all then. Bye.
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 Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.